Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Sheni, Monday, the 29th day of Shvat 5786, corresponding to February 16th. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur Katan, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, Tehillim Kuf. Mizmor l'todah, hariu l'Adonai kol ha'aretz, ivdu et Adonai b'simcha, bo'u l'fanav bir nana, du'u ki Adonai hu Elohim, hu asanu v'lo anachnu amo v'tzon marito. Bo'u sha'arav b'todah, chatzerotav b'tehila, hodu lo baruchu shemo, ki tov Adonai le'olam chasto, v'ador v'ador emunato. Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir Lam Alot, Asai Nael Heharim, May Ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Meim Adonai, Osei Shamayim Vaoretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha, Hine Lo Yanum Velo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha, Al Yad Yiminecha. Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakecha, Vyoreach Balayla. Adonai Yishmorcha mikol ra, Yishmor et nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha, me'ata v'yad olam. David, Kuf Lamed. Okay, everybody Kuf Lamed. Oh, there's David, but he's muted.
Dear Hamalas, me mama came, Pasicha Adonai, Adonai, Shmobikoli, Tianos Nechakashuvos, the Kol Tachnunai, and Avonos, Tishmarya Adonai, Miyamot, Kiam Khoslicha, Man Tivare, Kivisi Adonai, Kivsa Navshi, Lidvaro, Ho Kolti, Navshi Ladonai, Mishamim Laboker, Shomerim Laboker. Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Kim Adonai Hachesed Baharbe Imo Fidus Vuhu Yiftes Yisrael Mikol Avonosav
Mark.
The Halochamim Ba'adeno, Min Halavanon Ba'ad Yidvar Mitzrayim, Min Hayam Hagadol, Ad Lo Ha'arava, Yikol Makom Kehen, Ba'yavasha, Ba'avir Ba'yam. Yitain Adonai Ezraevino, Achamim Aleinu, Yigafim Lishneihem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishmor, Ve'yatzil Es Chayalinu, Mikol Tzarov Tzuka, Mikol Nega Machala, Yishlach Baruch Hava, Zocha B'chol Ma'asei Yedeihem. Yadver Sone'inu Tzavteihem, Yitarim Befeser Yeshua, Uvateres Nitzachon. Vikuyam Bahem Hakasu, Ki Adonai Elohechem, Ha'alech Imachem, Lehilachem Lachem, Imoyevechem, Laoshia Aschem.
Amen. Together, Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, Hanatunim Batzara Vashivya, Ha'omedim Bein Bayam, Bein Bayabasha, Vein Ba'avir, Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem, Viotziem, Mitzara, Lirvacha, Umeafela Laora, Umishibud Lagula, Hashta Ba'agala, Ubizman Kariv, Vinomar, Amen. Okay, the question was asked about Yom Kippur Katan. As it sounds, the mashal, the analogy that comes to my mind, because I am the son and grandson and nephew and cousin and brothers of accountants, the analogy is to an audit, a yearly audit. Is much, much easier to handle if you have monthly audits to keep your books and your documents in shape, so that when you have the yearly audit, it goes very smoothly. Similarly, and to broaden the idea with the Yom Kippur, I don't remember who, some Hasidic Rebbe once said that when we say Vatiten lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'ahava et Yom HaKippurim hazeh, that we say that God gave us Yom Kippur with love once a year, is because if we didn't have it, a lifetime of not so proper behavior things can accumulate and just be totally overwhelming, to say the least, when it comes to the great judgment day after a person passes. So having a Yom Kippur every year is very good for the soul and for us, by being able to do the tshuva process yearly. Take that one step further, and Chazal created this Yom Kippur Katan because Rosh Chodesh is Zman Kapara. We say that about Rosh Chodesh. And because in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there was a Korban Chatat, a communal sin offering on Rosh Chodesh, they felt that it was appropriate to have a miniature Yom Kippur, called Yom Kippur Katan, Rosh Chodesh time, but not on Rosh Chodesh, because not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. It's sort of celebratory, and we have Hallel, so they made it the day before. Now, Tishrei, at the end of Tishrei, doesn't have a Yom Kippur Katan, because it had the big Yom Kippur in the middle of Tishrei. And Cheshvan does, and Kislev does not, because it's Hanukkah, not appropriate. Tevet has it, Shvat has it, that would be this one today. Adar has it, Nisan does not, because it's Nisan, and Nisan is a festive month. Iyar has it, Sivan has it, Tammuz, and Av, not the end of Elul, because that's approaching the big one. So that's the story there. As I said, some people fast, and when they do, if you have a minion, you actually can lain Vayechal, like on a public fast day. And if you don't have a minion, but you're individually fasting, you say a modified Anenu, and some minyonim that are designated for Yom Kippur Katan Davka will say Avinu Malkeinu in the morning. I don't know if they do it in the afternoon because it's Rosh Chodesh tonight, and so on and so forth. What the takeaway from this is, whether you observe it or not, is to know about it and to realize that monthly, focusing on Rosh Chodesh, is a period of a challenge to do a tshuva in order to receive kapara. Okay. Now, I want to explain my background here. Let me start with the letters. When I was maybe 8 or 9, a guy in shul, older guy, obviously, came up to me with an old chumash, turned to the back, and showed me these letters and asked me if I knew what they meant. I said, I have no idea. So he introduced me to them, and what they are the codes for what we call hafsaka. Hafsaka is a break, a recess, which is why I flippantly put on monkey bars. Susan, what do you call monkey bars in your part of the world?
Scaffolding?
A what?
Scaffolding.
No. This is a playground thing.
Oh, it's a playground.
Some people call it a jungle gym.
Oh, climbing bars. I don't know.
Okay, so in America we called it
climbing frame.
And I had to go back to ask not for monkey bars, because I got a whole bunch of plastic modern ones. I wanted to remember the ones that I grew up on, which were made of metal, on concrete, no padding on the bottom, and no soft things anywhere. And that was the one of the pictures I put in monkey bars of the 50s. And that's what came up as one of the things. Now, why do I put it there? Because to me, before my encounter with this guy who explained these codes, Hafsaka to me meant recess in school. That's what we called it. Hafsaka was 10 o'clock in the morning, 10:30, whatever, and we went out to play a little. And the girls played jacks and jump rope, and the boys played punch ball with the Spalding. Now, interesting about that, just for trivia, the company is called Spalding, Spalding, in Brooklyn. We pronounced it Spalding, and you could look it up. It became a word, or became a recognizable name because of our mispronunciation. And we had one girl who insisted on playing punch bowl with the boys, and she was better than most of us. And the other girls play jacks, and I don't remember any boy going over and say, "Can I play jacks with you?" But anyway, that's a different story. So that to me was Hafsaka, and now we're going to be talking about the Mishkan soon. But let me go back to these codes. The way our calendar works, as you know, and as I've said many times, there are certain days of the week that any given date can occur. And there are days of the week where it can't occur. The famous starting point of all of this is Rosh Hashanah, based on the statement in our fixed calendar, Lo Adu Rosh. Adu, Aleph, Dalet, Vav. Aleph is for Sunday, Dalet is Wednesday, the fourth day of the week, Vav is Friday. Rosh Hashanah cannot begin on those days. That from there, it follows that the next day has 3 days that it can't be, and the one after, 3 days that it can't be. And you go around in a week, and you have seven variations, six other variations of Lo Adu, if you're following what I'm saying or not. Okay, now that applies from Rosh Chodesh Adar, from the first day of Adar, either Adar, not either Adar, the first Adar, or the only Adar, all the way through the year and around till Mar Cheshvan 29. Mar Cheshvan 30 is the first variable. And it sometimes exists and sometimes doesn't. That throws everything off. So it has a different rule. And this is all background that I'm saying. The days of Kislev, 29 of those days have their own rule. Then comes the 30th of Kislev. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It has its rule of what days it could occur and what days it can't. Then you have all of Tevet and all of Shvat have their rules, and you're back to the beginning of Adar. 295 days out of 385 maximum are fixed into 3 days they can't fall on, 4 days they can. Among those four are three that are more common, and a fourth one which is rare. Okay, with all of that, we look now to the Arba Parshiot, the four special Maftirs and Haftorahs that we started this past Shabbat, Parshat Shkalim. You have Shkalim, you have Zachor, Parah, and HaChodesh. Shkalim is the Shabbat of or before Rosh Chodesh Adar. That's this past Shabbos. Zachor is the Shabbos before Purim. Parah is the Shabbos before HaChodesh. So it's not linked to the calendar, it's Tzamud to HaChodesh. And HaChodesh is of or is on Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, or right before. Now, those four special parshiot need at least 5 weeks and occasionally 6 weeks to finish them. You never have a situation, just because of the way the calendar is, that you have the four in a row. You always have a Shabbat break, or sometimes two, and the break is called a hafsaka. What I think is funny is the fact that Shkalim has a special name because it's got a special parsha, and so does Zachor, and so does Parah, and so does HaChodesh. The break doesn't have anything special. This Shabbos we read Parshat Truma. That's it. So somewhere along the line, it picked up the title Hafsaka, and makes it even sound more special than the other four, whatever. Now, the codes for the Hafsaka are these letters here. Bet Vav means when the first day of Adar is Bet Monday, then Vav Adar is the Shabbat that's a Hafsaka. And that would be between Shkalim and Zachor. Got that? Bet Vav? When? And it's confusing because the first letter is the day of the week, Monday. The second letter is the day of the month, Adar, 6. Then you come to Dalid, which is this situation this year. When the first day of Rosh Chodesh, sorry, the first day of Adar is Wednesday, then the fourth of Adar, which is this coming Shabbat, will be a break, a hafsaka. Those two are the normal ones. Then you have an interesting situation of Vav. If Rosh Chodesh Adar, the second day Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Adar, is a Friday, then the immediate next day, the previous Shabbos was Shkalim, the very next day, Bet, the second day of the month, will be a break, a Hafsakah. And then you have Zachor, the following Shabbos, and then you have another break on the 16th of the month. Now notice that you have Vav, Friday, first day of Adar. Second day of Adar is the break, and the 16th here is called Yud Vav. So you need a little history. If we had Rabbi Beryl Wein, Zichrono Levracha, he might be able to pin it down to a period in history. I have no idea when this happened. Once upon a time, the normal thing was that after Yud, you had Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel 13, Yud Dalet 14, and Yud Hey. Somewhere along the line, someone said, well, Yud followed by a Hey is one of Hashem's names. So to use them as numbers, it didn't feel right. I don't really know if it's Usur, but it just didn't feel right. And somebody or some group changed 15 from a Yud and a Hey to Tet Vav. If you know your math, Tet is 9, Vav is 6, they add up to 15, and it became that. But Yud Vav stayed because that's not Shem Hashem. Somewhere along the line, could have been 100 years later, 200 years later, I have no idea. Somebody decided, or some group decided, that since maybe the Yud and the Vav are part of the special name of Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei name, and we already changed the Yud and the Hey into Tet Vav, let's make 16 Tet Zion. Now, I believe that this code was developed when they already had Tet Vav, but they didn't yet have Tet Zion is the normal way of counting 16. So that's why it's Vav, Bet, one Hafsakah, and Yud Vav, the second Hafsakah, which would be between Zachor and Parah. Now, there can never be a break between Parah and HaChodesh, because by definition, Shabbat Parshat Parah is the Shabbat before HaChodesh. So it can't be. The breaks are only in the other two positions. And then you come to the last one here, Zayin Tetvav. Zion is Shabbat, when Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbat itself, that will be Shkalim, Rosh Chodesh Adar, the first day of Adar. So that's Shkalim. The following week is already the Shabbos before Purim, so there's no break. And the Shabbos after that is a break between Zachor and Parah, just one break, followed by the following week, HaChodesh. So that's the code, Zayin Tet Vav. The only reason it's a little different for us in Yerushalayim is because Tet Vav, the 15th of Adar, is our Purim. And therefore, you go from Shkalim with two Torahs and a special Maftir and Haftorah to Zachor, special Maftir and a special Haftorah, to our Purim, special Maftir and a special Haftorah, Purah, special, special, and HaChodesh, special, special. So we end up with 5 weeks in a row of a second Torah with its own Maftir. In the case of Purim, it's the same reading that everyone else in the world will read Friday morning as the regular laning of Purim. But we read it as Maftir when it falls on Shabbat. And the only thing we don't read on that Shabbat is the Megillah, so that we end up doing like the rest of the world. And then the following week, as I said, is Purah and then HaChodesh. So that's what I learned from this guy when I was 8 or 9 years old. And it's one of the things I built into my calendars that I print up, the perpetual calendars, for informational purposes. And I wanted to share that. Hafsaka. This Shabbos, to me, that word before I learned the Hafsakot between the Parshiot meant recess and all of those games. Okay, comments, questions? Let us.
Well, those places where they say Yotros on the Arba Parshios normally don't say Yotros on the Hafsakot. But in Breuers with a Minna Frankfurt, they have special Yotzros for the Hafsakot as well.
Oh, that's interesting, because the Yotzrot. Let me just explain to everyone else what we're talking about. Over the centuries, I'm talking about long time ago, but over centuries, piyutim, liturgical poems, were added to davening. All kind of poems in all kind of davenings. Somewhere more recently, people said, you know what, let's leave him on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but, you know, I'll tagzim. And they dropped out from many, many congregations during the Chagim. And, okay, there's also something on Purim called Krovetz, Kol Rina V'Yeshua V'Olei Tzadikim. And I have been to Minyanim which say it, and I have been to Minyanim that don't. So in addition to the Shalosh Regalim, there are also Yotzrot for the Arba Parshiot, which are more common, I would say, than the ones that David. I know Davids, and I know Davids, and I know Davids. Plus Daves here and there, but okay. The Arba Parshiot, interesting. Two of them have Yotzrot for Shachris and Musaf, and two of them only have, for one of them, I don't even remember. I grew up in a shul that said Yotzrot all the time. And we even said Ma'arvis, which were the extra things in Ma'ariv the nights before, which had been rejected by a lot of poskim of more recent vintage. Look, this is, for those who are lost already in what I've been saying, these kind of things show an evolution and development of tefillah. Tefillah was not just produced in one shot. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah are, to them are attributed the basic texts that we have as tefillot, but it was an ongoing process, and there was a major chunk of years, of centuries, where people felt that to increase kavanah and increase participation in the davening, they would write poems. Slichot is loaded with them, and different congregations have dropped more or less. Interesting side note, in Brookline, Massachusetts, which was the hometown of Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, he was theoretically, halachically opposed to all of the extra stuff, but he insisted that they keep it because he said Reform Jews are the ones who take things out of the Seder, and Orthodox people shouldn't be the ones who take things out of the Seder. So it was sort of like a conflict between shortening the davening and making it to go smoother. And there's all kind of modifications and variations, not to do it in Kedusha, but in Chazor Lashatz in the beginning and not at the end, and then all over and in the middle of Birchot Kriyat Shema. So however old you are and however Yekesh or not Yekesh you are, and where you came from and where you davened, you will have experienced all of the above. Okay? So that's that. Now we come to Truma. I think it's very startling to have had 2 weeks ago the Aseret HaDibrot, Ma'amad Har Sinai, three other mitzvot that came right after them. And then the Ve'ela HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem, and last week, one after the other, mitzvah, 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 53 mitzvot that spins your head. It just, you have some psukim that have two different mitzvot which don't even have anything to do with each other. For example, Reishit Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, bring Bikurim, counted as a mitzvah there. Lo temashel gedim
Okay.
b'chalev imo, don't cook milk and meat together. And there have been many attempts to try to say, what are these two things doing in the same pasuk? But we don't have to get into that now. We could save it for the next time we have that same pasuk, which is Ki Tisa. So after this barrage of mitzvot, and by the way, Ve'ele HaMishpatim, the Mefarshim, the Gemara, points to Ve'ele, not Ele HaMishpatim, Ve'ele, and these, linking it to Ma'amad Har Sinai. Just like the Aseret HaDibrot were given at Har Sinai, so were these mitzvot. So were all the mitzvot. It just was done differently, because we, the people, panicked and didn't want to hear God's voice more than we had already heard his voice. So after this bombardment of 53 mitzvot in Mishpatim, mitzvah count cools down in Truma, this week's Sedra, but the first one of the three mitzvot only that are in Truma is a biggie, a very biggie. The Asuli Mikdash, make for me a sanctuary, says God, Vishachanti Betocham, and I will dwell among them, or within them. And that's a whole drash all by itself, and I'm sure you know that. It doesn't say the Asuli Mikdash Vishachanti Betocho, you make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell in it. Because God does not dwell in any specific location. The universe is filled with Hashem's essence. But it was build for me a sanctuary so that I will be able to dwell within your hearts. And in fact, it reminds me of that beautiful song, Bilavavi Mishkan Evneh. I will build a Mishkan in my heart. And that's based on the idea that our building a physical sanctuary, which is holy, and we behave properly with it, then that will bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence into our heart. Now, the Rambam, in his Counting of Mitzvot, the book is called Sefer HaMitzvot L'HaRambam. I never understood why it's not LaRambam, but it's L'HaRambam. You'll see that as the title. This is his work on 613 mitzvot, but he introduces them with 14 shorashim, 14 root rules or root principles by which he counts mitzvot. And this, I was going to say, is arbitrary, not quite, but it's definitely subject to arguing. He writes in one of the shorashim, number seven, actually, he writes, when a mitzvah is made up of many component parts, we will only count the mitzvah in general, and all the parts are not separate commandments, but they belong to the main mitzvah itself. Example, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. That's not his example. He uses a couple of others. But when you then continue reading, even within the first aliyah of the Shabbat, it says, Va'asu aron atzei shitim, make an ark. Sounds like a command. The asuli mikdash is a command, and to make an aron is a command, and to make a shulchan is a command, and to make the menorah is a command, and to make the mizbeach, and to make the courtyard and the boards and the coverings, and all of those have the language of command. And the Rambam says, we're not going to count them separately. They all are part of the mitzvah of making a mikdash, which first was the Mishkan, and only many, many years later was the Beit HaMikdash itself. Now, just as an example, no, it's not an example because it's the only one. The Ramban, Nachmanides, disagrees. He doesn't have to follow the Rambam's rules because the Rambam made up the rules for counting on his own. There are no existing rules. We have a weird situation of having an ancient tradition that there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah, and nowhere through hundreds of years of that tradition do we see a count of them, what they are, or any kind of guidelines for counting? That didn't happen until after the Gemara. So all of the period of Mishnah and Gemara, which was many, many, many generations, you then had individuals who said, hey, you know, we have this tradition there, 613 mitzvot. I'd like to make a list. So several Gaonim started making lists of the mitzvot, and surprisingly or not surprisingly, the lists didn't match each other. There were items on one guy's list that were not on the other ones, and vice versa. The one common feature was everybody had 613 because of that former, not former, that ancient tradition. If you didn't have that ancient tradition, then people would not only have different lists, but they had different numbers of mitzvot on the list. But we're bound to this concept of 613, and it becomes sometimes very academic. Why? Why do you count the tefillin shel yad as one mitzvah and the tefillin shel rosh as a separate mitzvah? So you could have said, tefillin is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to put on tefillin, which includes a yad and a rosh. In fact, if what I basically just said now about the Rambam, saying that all the details, all of the commands of Mishkan, were included in one single mitzvah, it would follow logically that it should happen. Nobody's not married. It would follow logically that tefillin should be one mitzvah that has two parts. So the Rambam already is not that consistent with what he does, but that's the way it works. There's a lot of squeezing and spreading and making sure you end up with 613. And it gets worse because you have to have Dafka 248 mitzvot taseh and Dafka 365 mitzvot lo taseh, because that's also part of the tradition. So this is more or less academic. When the Ramban says, no, making the Aron, that's its own mitzvah, because the Aron stands on its own. It's not like the Shulchan is part of the Mishkan and the menorah is part of the Mishkan. The Aron is its own thing. He feels it's worthy. It's not a good word. It should be identified as its own mitzvah. And he counts that. And the Rambam doesn't agree with him. Or he doesn't agree with the Rambam, because the Rambam came first, and then Ramban was only 11 years old when the Rambam died, as I have said many times also. But nobody says making the Shulchan or the menorah or the Mizbeach is a separate mitzvah. So don't ask. So it's not always logical. I would say even kind of often it's not logical. Sometimes there's a little bit of a reason attached to things. With tefillin, interestingly, the reason for separating them is that one is not dependent on the other. And if a person has a head injury where his whole head is has a lot of bandages on it, he puts on a shel yad and he doesn't put on a shel rosh, and that's a mitzvah. On the other hand, ulakachtem lachem bayom harishon, take on the first day of Sukkot, an etrog, a lulav, hadasim, and aravot. That's not, nobody says that's four mitzvot, because they all go together. You don't have one of them, you don't have the mitzvah. Same thing with the tzitzis. Four on each corner, but it's only one mitzvah. So as these things come up, you argue with them, you question them, you wonder about them, and you shrug your shoulders. So if you don't like the Rambam's count, check it out in somebody else's count. Maybe, you know, you'll get the other perspective. As long as I mention the Rambam and the Ramban, one of the most famous disagreements is that the Ramban counts mitzvat Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the Taryag mitzvot, and the Rambam doesn't. And there are reasons for it, which we won't get into now. Okay. So again, the Asuli Mikdash Veshachanti Betocham is a very, very encompassing, all-encompassing mitzvah. And if you were to, this is the way I would put it now, if you were to program a computer search by giving it key words to look for, like tzav, command, tzivui, do this, do that in the language, you wouldn't get your 613. You would have mitzvot that are shouldn't be on the list, and you would have mitzvot that are not on the list that should be. So you just have to go by the traditional things. Now there's one exception to this, which is the second mitzvah in Parshat Truma. We look at it like this just for dramatic effect. The command of the Aron, which is, as I said, the Rambam holds, it's not counted separately. But even if you do, Va'asu Aron Atzei Shitim, you make an Aron, measurements are given 2.5 amot long, 1.5 amot wide, 1.5 amot tall. Here's another command, Vitzipita Oto, and you shall plate it with gold on the inside and the outside, viasita alav, and you shall make for it a zer zahav saviv, a golden border, viyatzaktalo, and you attach four rings, and you put them on the sides of the aron. V'osita badei atzeishitim, and you shall make carrying pole, and you shall plate them, and you shall put them through the rings that you attach to the aron. So you have maybe 10, 11 different command words that are all part of making the aron, that the Rambam includes as all part of everything for the Mishnah, for the Mishkan, until you get to the following. B'taba'ot ha'aron yihyu habadim lo yasuru mimenu. The rods, the carrying poles, shall be through the rings of the aron, and you shall not remove them. That the Rambam says, no, that's different. Because all the other parts, all the other details of the Mishkan, one after the other, command, 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 are things you have to do. This one thing you're not allowed to do, not allowed to remove the carrying poles for the Aron, even when you set up the Mishkan. Let me make something clear here. The Shulchan also has carrying rods. They were put in when it needed to be carried, and they were pulled out and stored someplace when they were active. And the same thing for the Mizbeach and anything else that was carried by poles. Only the Aron. Special Isur of removing the poles from the Aron. If you ask, why is that different? What's special about that? What does it mean? So the answer is, it means it's always ready to move, because the Aron, not that Aron, but the concept of Aron was taken into battle when we fought wars, and it was considered, I mean, this is the reason that was attached to the Torah's prohibition. Torah doesn't need a reason for its prohibition. It needs to say that they're not allowed to be taken out. And the oral Torah says, ever. So once they're in fact, they even had a special way of covering the Aron for travel, which involved sliding the poles, but not removing them from the tabaot in some way to get everything proper the way it was done. So it symbolizes the Aron is always ready to lead us into battle and to lead us in travels. And when the call to travel or the call to fight comes, that's not the time to say, hey, who has the poles? Where did we put them last time? Oh, you go get them. And not the way it's done. They always stay in there. But just the idea, and it could seem not logical. So many details. Making the Aron, putting the Luchot into the Aron. That's all part of building a Mishkan. Not allowed to take the carrying poles out of the rings on the Aron. That's its own mitzvah. So that's two. We have Yasuli Mikdash, and we have Lo Yasuru, not to remove the badim, the carrying poles of the Aron. I told you there are three mitzvot in Truma. The other one is different, and it goes like this. The Shulchan is described, make a Shulchan, plate it with gold. These are its dimensions. Make a top for it, like a tabletop, have decorative borders around both the original base as well as on this tabletop, and put shelves on it, and that's where the lechem hapanim goes, the showbread. And that is counted as a separate mitzvah. In other words, not in other words, in the words, vinatata al hashulchan lechem panim lifanai tamid. The showbreads, as they are called in English, lechem hapanim, are baked every Friday, unless it's Yom Tov, in which case they're baked the day before. Wait a minute, you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov? No, if Friday, yeah, I don't think you do. I don't think Lechem HaPanim goes for. I think it gets pulled back to Thursday. In any event, whenever they're baked, they are placed on the Shulchan every Shabbos to replace the ones that were there from the previous week. One of the miracles that's recorded for the first Beit HaMikdash, at least, is that even though the breads were on the Shulchan for a full week, they tasted fresh when they were distributed to the Kohanim on duty the following Shabbat, when they were replaced. And based on the language here also, you didn't take off the old one and put on the new one. You took the new one and you pushed the old one off so that the Lechem HaPanim should always be on the Shulchan, which it was. Now, the Lechem HaPanim on the Shulchan is responsible for Chazal's rule that you're not allowed to fast on Shabbat. We sing about it in Ki Eshmeh Rosh Shabbat, where we say, Rosham Bidat Hokel. It is inscribed in the law of God, meaning the Torah, Rosham Bidat Hokel, Chok El Saganav, a rule for his assistants, will say, the Kohanim. Bo la'aroch lechem panim lefan. I have to sing it. It's amazing that David has a bencher in the snow. Bo la'aroch lefan. Whatever you put bread on the in the Mishkan. Al Cain. Okay, I gotta get the words here. Even though it's not Torah Shebichtav, you still are smart if you read quotes so that you don't make them up. I don't think I've ever messed up those words in the context of singing them, but try to recite them out of context and you get it wrong.
Rosh Hashanah Hakel Chok El Sganav Bo La'aroch Lechem Panim Bafanav Al Kein L'Sanei Bo Al Pi Nivonav Asur Levad Miyom Kippur Avoni.
Okay, but catch the wording where it says Al Kain. Now, the Torah requires putting Lechem HaPanim on the Shulchan in the Mishkan on Shabbat. But Chazal took that and they said Al Kain, the song says, Al Kain lehit ano bo al pi nevonav asur. According to Chazal, it is asur to fast on Shabbos because food is part of the Shabbat routine in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. It's not separated from it. It's not like, here's the holy stuff that we do, and take a break, have lunch, because you need to eat. Eating, if it were separate and only physical, then you would be allowed to fast on Shabbos. You could fast anytime you want. That means not eating. But because food has a spiritual dimension to it, as symbolized and epitomized by the Lechem HaPanim on the Shulchan in the Beit HaMikdash, Chazal took the ball, ran with it, and they made it asur to fast on Shabbat. Levad mi Yom Kippur Avoni, of course, except for Yom Kippur, where the Torah insists that we fast on Yom Kippur. But that's how that works. And this idea expands into a whole bunch of other things. For example, you ever told by your parents when you were a kid not to sit on the table? You're not supposed to sit on a food table. There are certain tables, you have an office table or a desk, you could sit on it. But a dining table you're not supposed to sit on because Shulchan Domeh LaMizbeach.
Is there?
Although in this case, Shulchan is e an echo of the Shulchan in the Mishkan. I don't know why they say Shulchan Domeh LaMizbeach. It makes, a closer link that Shulchan is Domeh to the Shulchan, capital Sh. And the salting of the hamotzi, which comes from that does come from korbanot and stuff like that, and making of brachot and washing for hamotzi and benching after, all of that is to blend an element of spirituality into eating. Talking about eating, you have also the fact, and this I smile when I think about it. There were things that I saw in Shulchan Aruch and in Rambam years ago that I said, hey, my mother used to say that, and I had no idea that it would be a halachic thing. Like, don't talk with your mouth full. You're in the middle of eating, don't talk when you're chewing on something. I thought that's what mothers say. I had no doubt that there were other mothers besides mine who said that. I don't think she invented that. But it's in Shulchan Aruch and it's in the Rambam that it is forbidden to talk, and the reason is the same. You could choke on your food. So wait a minute. That's in Shulchan Aruch? Yes, that's in Shulchan Aruch, because Shulchan Aruch has halachot, which are meant for health and safety. And the Rambam has a whole section called Hilchot Shmirat HaGuf VaHaNefesh, preserving of the body. And these are very significant kind of ideas, but that's what the Shulchan and the Lechem HaPanim teach us from the Parsha. Now, it turns out after the Aron and the Shulchan, you have the menorah. Now, the menorah also has something to do. Just like the Shulchan, you have to make Lechem HaPanim and put it on. The menorah, you have to light. And that's not counted from here. It's counted next week in Parshat Tetzaveh. So, again, the counting of the mitzvot, the combining of different components of a mitzvah under one, or the separation, is pretty much the decision of the person who is counting the mitzvot. And I would say, with all modesty, that I don't count if I were to do that on my own. But the Rambam and the Ramban and all the others who counted mitzvot, they do count. I don't mean that, I mean it in the figurative, language. In other words, you can't say, I think it would be a better idea if we did this. We have existing counts from the Gaonim and from the Rishonim. You can like something the Ramban says different from the Rambam. That's your choice. But the bottom line is none of this is halacha lemaaseh. This is all academic. Because the Rambam and the Ramban and everybody else say a man has to wear a tefillin on his arm and on his head every weekday. Doesn't matter if it's one mitzvah or two mitzvot for the halacha of doing it. Sanhedrin, to use a morbid example, Sanhedrin has to execute someone with either skila, sreifa, hereg, or chenek, depending on what the person was found guilty of. And the Rambam says that's four separate mitzvot in the Torah. And the Ramban combines them. Mitat Beit Din. How do you do it? There are four different ways. So it's almost semantic. It's a way of looking at it. I personally love the study of, let's say, Sefer HaChinuch and its commentaries, Minchat Chinuch among them, because you get halacha lemaaseh, and you get study for the sake of study. And that's a good combination. That's so divrei Torah, to be completely enwrapped in the Torah. As a reminder, tonight is the first day of Rosh Chodesh, and if you daven Ma'ariv and you forget to say Aleph Yavo, you do not have to repeat. You do not repeat during the day, Shacharit and Mincha. If you leave out Aleph Yavo, you have to repeat the whole Amidah. And we have a 2-day Yom Tov. I would say I purposely didn't want to get into Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha yet. We'll wait for Wednesday when it's actually Rosh Chodesh and I'm wearing a tie. And we'll talk more as we get there. Have a good day.
Thank you, Phil.